Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Convert Your Speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies in the Christian walk. The Christian walk really speaks of the daily life of the Christian. Our service is often done on the run. Service is an intense thing, whereas walking is more relaxed. And the scriptures choose to refer to our daily lives under the figure of a walk. And today we wish to speak particularly of walking in love. Love should characterize the life of a Christian. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, verses 1 and 2 rather, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." He has taught us the meaning of love. And then in John 3:16, remember that, too, the Father loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave him up to the cross to die for you and for me, for our sins. Sins would have kept us out of heaven. But God loved us to the extent he wanted us in his heaven, so he sent his Son to die for our sins. This almost boggles the mind. But we have to believe it. It's in God's Word. He tells us that, and he demonstrates that to us, even in our daily lives. Now, God loves us. Christ loves us. And this is indeed the very essence of our Christian walk, walking in love. He taught us how to love. He taught us the meaning of it. In our unredeemed state, we were hateful and hating one another, as Paul tells us, in Titus 3, chapter 3, and verse 3, I think I'll just read that verse. "For we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another." Now, Paul includes himself. There was a time in his life when these selfish, proud things characterized him. And he includes himself right along with others. And I would say that any preacher of the gospel will do well to use that pronoun, we, that inclusive pronoun, quite frequently. We are sinners. God loved us. But notice, please, I'm going to read it again. "We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another." That was our original state, in our unredeemed state. Now, God, wants us to come into his state. Satan brought us into the state wherein we are. We read that in Isaiah, for instance, in chapter 14, the entrance of sin into God's universe. This is most interesting to me. In chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah, we read in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Lucifer was God's most glorious, gifted, powerful angel. Now notice Lucifer, how he reacts to God's goodness to him. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Unholy ambitions. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Sin entered the universe with the word I. Satan was not satisfied with his state. He wanted, he had ambition, he had pride, he wanted to be above the other angels. And he says, so I'm going to set my throne above the throne of God. This is the entrance of sin into the universe. And even in the Garden of Eden, when he tempted Eve, he tempted her to reach out and grasp for something that God wasn't pleased to give her. He said, if you eat of this tree, you'll be as God. That's exactly what Satan wanted. So he infected her with his disease. It's called sin. And the very word of the very spelling of the word sin, S-I-N, right in the middle of, is that letter I, that word I. And so sin is selfishness. It's pride. Now, God does not want us in that state. He wants us in his state. And God has taught us the meaning of and the experience of love himself. Now we read, for instance, in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 10, and then we'll also read verse 19. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sent his Son. Christ came here on a mission, and that mission was to die and be a propitiation, a satisfaction to God in the matter of our sins. Now in verse 19 we read, in that same chapter, we love him because he first loved us. Now in verse 10 we read that we don't love God, and we didn't love God until we realized that he first loved us. The Ten Commandments are summarized in two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God commanded love, but he didn't get it that way through the law. He got it through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We love him because he first loved us. He taught us the meaning of love. Now, let's talk about the manifestation of love in our lives. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Spirit of God is accomplishing in your life and mine what the Ten Commandments could never do. God commanded us to love through Moses, through the Ten Commandments, but the power was not given to love. God excites the love. God earns the love by his love toward us. Love begets love, and the love of God has begotten our love to Christ. Now, the Spirit of God is developing these wonderful characteristics in our lives. Really, these characteristics, or attributes, if you wish to call them that, were the attributes of Christ. Listen as I read that verse again. Those verses again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now the Spirit of God wants to develop the character of Christ within you and within me, if we're Christians, if we've trusted him. That's his ambition for us. Now, he develops it himself. It's his power. It's his grace that develops that in us. The Spirit of God does that. Now, how does he do it? He does it when we look at Christ. You know, we become like those that we admire. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that God has given us that Spirit for that very same purpose, that he might develop Christ in us. By looking at Christ, we take on his characteristics and the Spirit himself in his power. This is the power of the Spirit of God, develops that Christ-like character in our lives. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that also, the love of, the manifestation of the love of God in our lives, is the motivation for our service. It motivates us to serve the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That's a strong word. It involves straining like the runner to reach the tape. The love of Christ constraineth us. It's a compound word. It forces us. It motivates us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he means by that, dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to its ambitions, alive to God, but dead to these things that would hold us in our unregenerate state, that is, hold us back in that old nature. We're not in our unregenerate state if we've trusted the Lord. But he gives us the motivation for service. Now, that motivated the Apostle Paul. Think of what the Apostle Paul suffered. He faced death continually. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. We have to read this in the 2 Corinthians epistle, verses 10 and, 11 and 12. What he endured, why did he do it? Because he loved Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. That's the motivation for Christian work. It's not the sense of oughtness. It's the sense of wantness, if I may coin a term. We want to serve him because he loves us. And this is indeed walking in love. Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. Now we have the privilege of returning that love and showing him. How? By living a godly Christian life. We can please him. The Apostle Paul, or Apostle John, said, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth." We can please God. We can compensate him because of his love, just simply by loving him back and serving him. Now, it's the character of God that's developed in us. It is really developed in us. 1 John 4 and 8, we read, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love." This is the character of God developed in you and me. This should manifest itself, in our daily lives, right down where we live, where the rubber meets the road. We should reflect the love of God because of his wonderful sacrificing love to us. Father, help us to love you, and we do love you, because you first loved us. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen.